Magnified, O God. Be magnified, be glorified in this place today. Be lifted up, Jesus. Oh, take your throne in our hearts and our lives, in this church, in this setting, this service, Lord. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. Be magnified. Magnified, Lord. Be magnified in our midst, O God. Oh, God, we see you too small. Too small in our eyes. Be magnified, O God. Be enlarged in our faith, be enlarged in our very thinking, Lord, our mindset, our spiritual walk, Lord, be magnified, Lord, I praise you for this time together, I praise you that you are here, thank you for the songs that we sing, Lord, about you, it's all about you, Jesus, and we love you so very much. God, just be magnified in this place today as we've already sensed the moving of the Spirit, Lord. And as we come to your word now, Lord God, we ask that you would touch and minister through us, Lord God. God, we're dealing with a subject that is very pertinent to the days that we're living in. God, we are living in days that are ripe for the coming of the Lord. God, what else is there in this world that is ready for you, Lord? There's sin everywhere. There's racism. There's terrorism. There's all kinds of things, Lord. There's unrest. There's unholiness, there's unrighteousness. It's all around us, Lord God. Help us to stay the course. Help us to keep our eyes on you, Lord. Help us understand that your name is above every other name, Lord. When we hear other names, Lord God, other religions, other cults, other practices, other things, Lord, help us to understand that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way, Lord, no other way. You've painted the pitch for us. It's a narrow way, Lord God, but we've got to stay the course. So thank you, Lord. Meet every need this morning. Touch every life. For those who are not with us today, Lord, we just ask you be with them. Comfort them. Give them the joy of Jesus. We know it's March break for the kids, Lord. May they just have a great week, Lord Jesus, as they enter into just a week off of school, Lord. But let them be refreshed in the things of God. Thank you, God, for this day. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. 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 You may be seated. Kids can head off to Sunday school. Thank you, worship team. It's very difficult to play and sing at the same time. Did you know that? They say that my wife reminds me of this, too, that men only use half their brain. Is that correct? That was not a time for consulting and thanking the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like having fun in church. How about you? Joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Well, just because I use half the side of my brain doesn't mean that I can't think on the other side. I use it twice as effectively. Amen. So it's a honed-in weapon, that half of my brain. So I keep it going. Hallelujah. But anyway, the Lord is coming back. The Lord is coming back. Amen. I'm really excited about these topics, these sermons, these messages that God is laying upon my heart. This is the one that I was out walking the dogs a few weeks ago and just kind of zeroing on some of the things of Matthew chapter 24 and 25. And the Lord really spoke to me in one of my walks. I think it's great. You should get a dog. You know, when you go out walking with your dog, you're out there, you know, in the trees and the environment. And I find that's an easier place to, you know, hear from God. Amen. So all the dog owners said. Hallelujah. So you're in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 24. Just going to read the first five verses. You can follow along with me or in your Bible where you like to jot notes down and underline things and all that kind of stuff. I put it up here for you to read also. Matthew chapter 24, reading in the New King James Version. Verse 1 says, "Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down.' Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many.'" Hallelujah. Last week, we started off these series of messages, and as we looked from these first couple of verses, that Jesus and his disciples walked from the temple. The disciples were, in a sense, stating to Jesus as they talked to him, about the power, the greatness of what has been, in that this temple is seems to be rock solid. It's a strong structure. And if you were to go back into the history of what the temple would have looked like, they were saying that some of the very cubes and the blocks or the very fixtures of going up in the temple were perhaps 10, 15 feet wide, were about 20 feet long, and about 10 feet thick. Can you imagine those kinds of bricks to be able to see them coming down, to be thrown down? I mean, it's pretty hard to imagine that. I mean, standing beside that for the disciples to look at that and to hear the words of Jesus, to understand that this is the Jewish faith, Jesus. This is what we've been living by. This is what we've been felt right from the very beginning through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is all the way down. This is something solid. They were looking for that strength and the security and that solidity of a sure thing, as I said last week. It must have been some feeling to look at that rock-solid structure, to feel that, you know, we are indestructible, Jesus. We are indestructible. We are impenetrable. You know, this is the way we are. We're strong. And I know the song that says, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Everybody know that one? Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. But I look at this planet Earth, and that is not a rock in a weary land. They were trying to put their faith in a rock in a weary land that was not the rock. So we stand in Jesus, with Jesus, beside Jesus, walking with Jesus, because he is our rock. That is the only solid ground for these disciples and for us today. Too many turn their attention on things of the world and not enough on Jesus. Do you agree? Not enough on Jesus. Sometimes we're to blame for that. And God forgive us if we do that. But it's not too late to get back to Jesus because he is the rock. He hasn't come back yet. So if you haven't got your eyes focused on him, now's a good time to do that. Is there an echo coming through the, I don't know if the monitor's on or whatever, but turn me off of that. That's good, the monitor. Is it off in the monitor? Good, okay. Turn me back up then. Not as loud as it was, though. Amen. I don't want anything to distract from what's going to happen today. Amen. I always feel that you got to get everything just perfect in my introduction to get it to that place. That's why we take the introduction to get us ready for what's coming. Amen. I need to advise us before we start really digging into Matthew chapter 24 and 25 that did you know that Matthew chapter 24 and 25, the words that we will read in these chapters are primarily directed to the nation of Israel. They are primarily targeted to the Jewish nation. They are centered on and focused on towards the Jewish people, God's chosen people. And since the promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, the nation of Israel has always been in God's heart. They are his chosen people. That's who he decided. That's who God in his foreknowledge and everything about God. And I don't doubt his plans. I don't question his plans. That's the way God works things out from Genesis to Revelations, that they are his chosen people. And God has used them, the lineage, the tribe of Judah, to even bring us a Savior into the world. So they are God's chosen people. Since that promise to Abraham, they've been on God's heart, this lineage, that he would bring forth Messiah, Jesus, to enter the world. Even Paul, who was a very stout Jew, he was classed as the Pharisee of Pharisees from the tribe of Benjamin, stated in the book of Romans, I love the book of Romans, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes." Then he said this, "For the Jew first, and then to the Gentiles, to the Greeks." That's how he listed it off, because he was going in the order of which God prioritized it. In many instances of Paul's teaching in Romans, we saw through Wednesday night Bible studies that the priority of God was to the Jews first. We saw that. I mean, John chapter 1, verse 11 says, "He came to his own, and his own did not receive him." They disregarded all the claims that Jesus said that he was the Son of God. Then you go over to Romans chapter 10, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him, for whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. You see, God's sacred order, even though he went to the Jewish nation, used them as his chosen people, his people that he wanted to bring Messiah through, God's order is never to the exclusion of anyone. Never to the exclusion of anyone. "For whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved." And even Peter, when he stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached to that mixed crowd, but mainly there was Jewish people there who were coming into the city in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. But Peter, anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit, stood up on the day of Pentecost, and in amongst his sermon, which was primarily targeted to all his listeners, to the Jews, he said, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." He was looking at this vast crowd of people, and he told them, anybody can be saved. Anyone can be saved. Thank God for that. That's a good shouting time in church. Amen? So Matthew chapter 24 and 25 is primarily directed towards God's chosen people. Remember that. Keep that in mind as we go through these two chapters. If you keep that in focus, you'll understand a lot more as we go through these things, because I believe that over the years, people have misinterpreted and misdirected some of the things that are landing to us in Matthew chapter 24 and 25 on the end times. God's chosen people, primarily directed towards them. The sad thing, though, as you think of this, the nation of Israel, they rejected Jesus as Messiah 2,000 years ago when Jesus was with them. But even to this day, Israel is still waiting for Messiah. In other words, they do not consider Jesus to be Messiah. That's a sad thing. Because of their unbelief, God will bring judgment on them. And the end times will be very severe on the Jews as well as anyone who rejects the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, Messiah, Savior of the world. And by keeping that in our minds as we go through these verses, that it is first directed towards the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. Now, I want to let you know that as we go through these things and you're thinking, well, it's just for the Jewish people. Now, Jesus, you'll see a little later on, talks about earthquakes, wars, and rumors of war. Now, if there's an earthquake in this world and you're a Jewish person or you're a Gentile person, it doesn't matter. If that earthquake opens up and a crack forms in the ground, you're going down, right? It doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile. Whether there's a war, rumor of war, or anything that happens in this world that is terrible and hostile, I mean, if you're in the gunfire or anything else, you're going to be caught in it, whether you're Jew or Gentile. But I want you to understand that this chapter, 24 and 25, is primarily directed towards the Jewish people. That's why in verse 2, Jesus is directly confronting things that the Jewish people would trust in. The temple. They trust in that very place. That's why Jesus said, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." This was, I guess, from Jesus, a direct, all-out attack on their religion. Did you know that Jesus doesn't like religion? Doesn't like the religious stuff that we do. Doesn't like all the forms and the traditions and the dogmas and all the stuff that we think that we have to do to raise up brownie points in our life to make us look good and make us look some like holier than thou or anything else. I don't believe that Jesus likes religions. Do you? I don't think he does. I believe that Jesus is looking after and seeking into our hearts and our lives a relationship with us. He doesn't care about the trimmings. I love this building. I love the church where we come to worship. But you know, if it was destroyed, it shouldn't do anything to our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, our relationship is with Jesus. He is the rock. That's where we land up every moment of our lives, is in that very place of knowing Jesus. And that's very, very important for us. If you were to look back in Matthew chapter 23, we'd see that Jesus confronted the leaders of the Jews. He confronted the leaders of the Jews. Didn't kind of beat behind the bush and said, you know, those guys are wrong. He confronted them face to face. You go through and look up this word by the name woe, W-O-E. He's not talking about woe like to a horse where you stop. He's talking about the religiosity of the Pharisees and what they were doing. He was going through that. In fact, in Matthew chapter 23, as he said all these things, they were going the wrong way. They were doing the wrong things. And they're leading people in the wrong directions. The blind were leading the blind, he called them. He confronted them. And then at the very end of Matthew chapter 23, the conclusion of that chapter, Jesus gives this to all that religiousness of the Jewish nation and their stronghold of what they hold dear by stating this. And if you're still in Matthew chapter 24, all you have to do is go back to the end of chapter 23. And this is what Jesus said to the religiousness. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate." In other words, what you trusted in, your religion, is coming to an end. It's going to be left desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I believe that the Jews are blinded right now. They're blinded by a religiousness. Blinded by the things that, well, we've always done it this way. Our forefathers did it this way and everything else. But as I look at the Word of God, it says in Revelations chapter 1, verse 7, behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. And then it says in Revelations chapter 1, verse 7, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I believe the Jews are going to see Jesus one day. They're not looking to him right now, but they will see him one day. So what we are going to read and study and research in Matthew chapter 24 and 25 is, as I say, primarily towards the Jews, but all peoples are certainly included in what will happen on planet Earth. And we must understand, when the trump of God sounds, when the trump of God sounds, my ears are in tune. When the trump of God sounds, there is no prejudice, no discrimination found at Calvary's cross. You can be Jewish or Gentile. You can be rich. You can be poor. You can have all kinds of degrees through every educational institution you could think of, or you could have dropped out of school, never ever even obtaining a high school diploma. It doesn't matter the color of our skin. It doesn't matter the language that we speak or the part of the world that we live in. When the trump of God sounds, those who believed in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ through the amazing grace given unto us of the unfailing, unmerited love of God the Father and what Jesus did for every last human being, both past, present, and future, that is what counts. That is what stands. That's what's going to make the difference when the trump of God sounds, is do you know Jesus Christ or do you not know him? Have you accepted him or have you rejected him? Have you walked with him or have you put him on the Easter and the Christmas services only of your life? That's what matters. Do you and I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I was coming down the radio this morning and we came here earlier. I usually get on Ravi Zacharias from 8:30 to 9 on the radio station from Mars Hill Network. But being here early for our music practice, I got somebody else who I've never heard before. And they were going through some really good scriptures, and it was really good. And they were talking about Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus came up to the disciples and said, you know, who do people say that I am? And they started going through, well, they say that you could be John the Baptist, you could be Elijah, you could be one of the prophets, you're a good teacher, you're good this and everything else. They started repeating all these things of what the world was saying about Jesus. But then he looked at them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter stood up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He admitted that. And so Jesus said, you are Peter, the Petros, the rock, which I will build my church. That's the church. That's the relationship. And that's what God is looking for in you and I. So we need to believe in Jesus Christ, not the temple, not the world, not the things of the world, not the monetary system, not everything around us. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I like Jesus says some real intricate things. He said some things that really, you know, dig into you. You ever felt that where Jesus says things and they just kind of dig, get into you? Now listen to this. This is in John chapter 4, verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. That's very clear, isn't it? And shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. That's what I want. How about you? Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. He was talking about salvation in that. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this. For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can't of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Hallelujah. You know, the medical profession these days is very amazing, isn't it? The science and things. And Pierre, what you were saying the other night about what you read about that hair the size of a bacteria they implant in the body that is going around to look for, could destroy cancer. And I'm amazed at some of the things that you read of, the research and the breakthroughs and the things that, when I was 5 years old and going to, in my earlier years, how many know that kids like sugar? I used to eat a lot of sugar, and I sat in the dentist chair, and they didn't come in with the needle and freeze your mouth back in those days. Anybody remember that? Yeah. I sat in those dentist chairs, and I had a hold of those handles. And as they started that drill up, I hated that sound. And the smell of that, you know, the burning of the teeth and all that. Oh, I can remember those days. So when I go to a dentist now and I say, could you freeze it, please? Freeze it, you know, so I don't feel anything, you know. And you come out with drool hanging down your mouth and, you know, and you look like a zombie or something like that. I don't know, kind of going around weird looking and all. But I love all the stuff that the medical profession is coming up with, the breakthroughs and the science and the new discoveries that they're sought after. And you know, the reason why they're doing this is so that they can maintain a better style of life, that we could have a better life that we're living, and even to promote life to live longer. That's what they're trying to get across, is that you and I could live life a lot longer. Well, I always look at these science things, and I have a great suggestion for those who are looking for all these things of the physical. You know, give your life to Jesus, and you will prolong life. In fact, you will have a very long life. It's called eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I think that everybody is looking to try and keep this body going for as long as they can. Maybe I can reach 100. Maybe I can get to 110. Maybe I can be as old as Moses. All I know is give your heart to Jesus, and you won't worry about this anymore. You'll be thanking God for that in eternity, and praise God for the blessings that we have. You know, the Bible says that those who rebelled and rejected the Lord Jesus Christ will be resurrected too, but to hear God's judgment against them and to be sentenced to an eternity apart from Him. You see, many choose to live it up here on earth. This is where they party. This is where their focus is. This is earth. This is life. This is living. This is party time. This is all the stuff that they want to do. And they choose to live it up here on earth. But the sad thing is they ignore God. They ignore the Lord Jesus Christ. They even see death as that final rest where it all stops. They just say, there's nothing after the grave. What are you Christians talking about? When you get to that place and the heart stops or whatever happens to our life and we're laid in the grave, that's it. I've heard that so many times, that nothing exists beyond the grave. Well, in a few weeks, we'll be celebrating Easter, Resurrection Sunday. The greatest battle of all mankind is, did Jesus rise from the grave? Did he overcome death? Is it true that Jesus did that? Did he overcome the grave? And did he, in fact, rise from the grave? And the great debate goes on. You see, if unbelievers see that nothing exists beyond the grave, then one day their eyes will be opened to the judgment they will face in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus was very specific about this information given for the last days, the end times. Did you know that Jesus wants us in the family? He's not putting this down here to scare us. He's not putting it down to worry us. He's here, putting it here to warn us. He wants to ensure that all who hear become believers if they are not believers already. And we have this series on the webpage, and I'm really praying over what will happen through these series of messages. And I don't know how long it's going to go on. Every time I go into the Word of God, I find that God is taking me longer, you know, into some of the research and the things that I've got here going. I'm not going to try and compete with Pierre on Wednesday nights, but I don't know how long this is going to go on, looking at Matthew chapter 24 and 25, because there's a lot of deep stuff here. And I don't want to just go over it for the sake of, well, we got to get this, got to get this, got to get this. You know, I was thinking as I was preparing this message today that, you know, people coming into church on Sunday morning, they lost an hour of sleep. You know, my physical part of me said, maybe I should shorten the message down. But I quickly put the flesh aside. Hallelujah. Because I knew that whoever sleeps during the messages will sleep. Whoever's awake during the messages will be awake. It doesn't matter whether you lost an hour or not. It's excitement and everything else that you want to do. And so I just put that aside, and I just kind of went through this. And you know what? The message that God gave me just kind of went a little longer. Isn't that great? Aren't you excited about that? Part of you are. Maybe it's the guys with that part of their brain. I don't know. But you know, I put this series up on the web page, advertised it. I pray that our messages get out on the web page, that they can hear and to kind of whet their appetite for more of the end times. And so I've put that up there, and I'm praying that God will not only see our web page, but they'll be intrigued to come in, and that the voice of invitation is going out. It's like John the Baptist, you know, crying out in the wilderness. And so I encourage you, if people even hint somewhere in the workplace or in your family or anything like that, they talk about, you know, wow, it looks pretty bad in the world. There's your cue. Okay, if they say it looks bad in the world, you know, somebody else is battling over there. Iran is firing off these, or North Korea is testing this again, or something else happened in the world. Here's your cue. That's the shot to put in there about the end times. Amen? And so invite them out. And not only, better yet, drive them out. Amen? Bring them out. Hallelujah. So those first few verses of Matthew chapter 24 are really intriguing, because the disciples, they want to know. I mean, if these stronghold, if what we trust in is coming down, what do we have else? What, tell us, Jesus. I mean, tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Dake interprets those as threefold questions like this. When will Jerusalem be destroyed? And what will be the sign of your coming? And what will happen when you come? Adam Clark said, when shall these things be? The destruction of the city, the temple, and the Jewish state. Number two, what should be the sign of your coming? To execute these judgments upon them. Or number three, when shall this world end? When will you come to judge the world? As I said, I was walking the dogs a few weeks ago. I was really saying, God, you know, what do you want to speak through us? What do you want to show us? What do you want to bring to our very forefront during these messages? And as I was walking along, I heard these two words. Now, a lot of people get really hung up on, does God speak today? Ever felt anything? Yeah, like with God speaking to our spirit? You know, it could be audible words. It could be like a feeling or impression. I don't want to limit God to how he deals with us as humanity. I think that, you know, some people need to have an audible voice. It would shake them up pretty good. Somebody need an angel in front of them. I heard a story one time in Morrisburg. John, I don't know if you remember this, but there was a guy, a young guy, who gave his heart to the Lord. He was a drinker, and he was driving drunk one night down over the overpass, over the 401, and a bright light shone. I can't remember the fellow's name, but do you remember that in Morrisburg? And that was amazing. The guy stopped his car, drunk as he was, got out the side of the car because his wife was a Christian, came to the church all the time, but he was not coming. He stopped the car, got out the side of the car. This bright light was right in front of the car. He couldn't drive anywhere, and he sobered up right in that very moment. Do you know what? He was out of church on that Sunday morning. You know, I don't know how God moves, how he does things. I just say, God, go ahead and do it. You know, and anyway, I was walking along with the dogs, and I was really praying over these messages, and I said, God, I need to hear from you. I need to really feel this presentation of this end time series. I need to know what you want to do. And he gave me two words. Pay attention. Wow, that sounds really deep, doesn't it? Pay attention. I was walking along and I was trying to figure out, what do you mean by that? Pay attention. I thought I was always paying attention. I'm a good Christian boy, a good pastor and all that. You know how we rate ourselves in the kingdom of God. I started going through all those things, and you know, he said, pay attention. That's all I got was walking the dogs, pay attention. Now, before Jesus entertains any thought of those questions that the disciples asked Jesus, before he ever even gets to the end time steps of things that are going to happen, before they ever get to that, of the questions that are specific about the end time, he prioritizes a concern for us and them in the days that we live. In fact, he zeroed in verses 4 and 5, take heed that no one deceives you, and many will come in my name and deceive many. If somebody asks you about the end times, and they may even ask similar questions to like what the disciples asked Jesus. They may ask all kinds of things. And maybe we should respond like Jesus. I was thinking about this because we get a lot of questions as Christians. I don't know about you, but I get a lot of questions at times. And sometimes even with things that happen, you know, they ask about the end times. And maybe we need to respond instead of just trying to, you know, we stumble over our answers and trying to get through all the answers that we feel would be appropriate for them to hear and suitable for them and their questions that they're asking us, and we get through all this. I think that maybe we should follow the formula of Jesus, and when they ask all those questions, I think that we should zero in and say to them, look, pay attention to what Jesus is. Pay attention to who he is, because there's a lot of stuff in the world right now that's taking people every which way. Anything else, you know, really, when we talk to people, anything else in this world, don't listen to it. Don't get caught up in it. Don't pay attention to it. Don't even let it concern you. Jesus is really telling us here that don't be swayed by other things, other religions, even cults, but only to the Word of God. You know, I don't think anybody likes to be conned. You ever heard that expression, conned? You know, there's con artists out in the world all over the place. And nobody likes to be conned or tricked out of what we have, especially financially. Some people, and I find that a lot of times the con artists go and target seniors. They almost go after their retirement fund to try and make them be duped into something. You know, a con artist would tell you that you can make all kinds of money if you just invest in what I have here. First, you've got to put up $1,500, or then you've got to put up this, and you start putting money into this, and they keep telling you, don't worry, the money is coming, the money is coming. You're going to be investing in this, and man, you're going to be living on Easy Street for the rest of your retired days. You're going to be going through some great times. You're going to be living on high ground. And they just tell you this. And then eventually you find out that you can no longer contact them and find out later that all the money that invested into this very scam that was there is never to be seen again. And how do you feel at that moment being conned? You know, the old saying goes, you can kid a kid, you can fool a fool, and you can even con a con, but God will not be mocked. Amen? I like what it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In other words, we cannot pull a wool over God's eyes. Hallelujah. You know, I found over my years as a Christian, as a pastor, I've personally tried to stay the course. I've tried to stay on target. I've really tried to stay close to the heart of God. Sometimes people have asked me over the years, you know, I can remember when I first started in pastoring. Remember the great preachers back in those days, Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker and all these people on TV. And I would come to church in the morning, brand new green pastor, and I'll walk into church and somebody would walk up to me and say, hey, pastor, did you hear Jimmy this morning? Whoa, wasn't he on fire? And then I get up there and preach my little ditty there that I have for that morning and go home and feel it. Well, Jimmy's better than me, you know, and I kind of go through all that. And I tell you, it can be really discouraging at times because everybody, oh, did you hear that? Oh, man, were they on fire? Oh, man. You know, I like to hear sometime when you come out of church, pastor, oh, man, you're on fire today. I can hardly wait to tell the community to come to church. Hallelujah. Just a nugget. Must have come from the one side of the brain, I don't know. But I've tried to stay on what God wants. You know, Try to stay close to God. Try to listen to him. God, help me to hear. I'm going to hear what you want. I mean, this is, I take pastoring as serious stuff. I don't want to mess around. Like, you know, I heard a pastor one time, you know, he was 58, 60 years old, and he kept saying, you know, oh, another few years, and I'm retired. I'm out of this, baby. And I kept thinking, here I was a young pastor, and I thought, is that what it feels like? I mean, God, you called me to pastor. You called me into the ministry. You saved me. Is that what I'm going to do in my last few years of ministry? Is can't wait to get out? Well, here I am, 66. Still here. I'm not out, and I don't feel like it yet. I love it. I try to stay close to God. But I've also found that when it comes to hearing of all the stuff that goes around out there these days, watching the things on TV, I've found that maybe some Christians could be just plain gullible. Could I say that this morning? Amen. Just plain gullible. Now, they have come to me and told me of all the things that contradict the Word of God and even things that some add to the Word of God. And of course, let me say that it's nobody in this church. And because of some great person on the TV, they've believed it. You know, that because, oh, he said it like he's a guy on TV. Look at him if he said it. Remember that, what was her name that stayed with us that hit me with the Bible? What was her name? Heather, yes. This girl, she brought home a track one time, and the track was really weird. And she showed me this track, and she took me through this track, and I looked at it. I said, well, that's not right. And I showed her this part of this track, and I said, that's not the right thing. She says, come on, it's a track. It's written by Christian people out there. Who are you to say that the track is wrong? I said, okay. And people really get upset if you try and point out something to them. You know, and she even hit me with the Bible one time. my ear was ringing and all that, like, the words of Jesus tell us very clearly that we must not be deceived. Not be deceived. Pay attention. You know, I looked at the different translations, and it's kind of interesting. The New King James Version says, take heed that no one deceives you. The New Living Translation says, don't let anyone mislead you. The Amplified Version, which really spreads it out for us, be careful that no one misleads you, deceiving you, and leading you into error. The Living Bible says, don't let anybody fool you. The New American Standard Bible says, see to it that no one misleads you. And the NIV says, watch out that no one deceives you. If it is possible that you and I could be deceived, does that mean that we are gullible? Think about that for a moment. I mean, why would Jesus say this? I mean, I'm just taking him for the word where he's telling. I mean, these disciples, Peter just said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, don't let anybody deceive you, even after he admits this. Well, I thought, well, some people here aren't going to understand really what I mean when I say gullible. So let me give you the understanding of the dictionary definition of gullible, okay? Gullible means to be easily duped or cheated. Now, I thought, well, somebody's not going to understand what the word duped means, so I looked up the definition of duped. So anyway, I went to duped, and it says easily deceived or cheated. So then I went to the actual definition of deceived, and it says to cause to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. Deceive in the Greek is planeo, which means to roam from safety, from truth or virtue, go astray, to be deceived, to err, to seduce, to wander, to be out of the way. Remember in the book of Acts, the Christians were first called people of the way? To be out of the way. For us to have God's word and then to believe a lie because somebody comes along and tells us that this is a better way to believe or lead us down some garden path, and then for us to later realize that in all reality we have believed a lie is terrible. We need to pay attention. Pay attention. Hebrews chapter 12, I love this. I go there all the time because I just find the book of Hebrews is really powerful. The blood of Jesus Christ. No longer we have to bring bulls and goats. We could just go right in there boldly into the throne room of God's grace. Thank God for his marvelous grace. Hallelujah. Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. Don't you love going to the book of Hebrews? And then I like going over chapter 12. It says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, those people who have gone on before us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, makes us gullible. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How do we do this? Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Pay attention. Look unto Jesus. I like what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He said, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attention. Pay attention. Give attention to the reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Stay focused. If we are living in the last days, I am sure the old enemy is trying his very, 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 very best to bring us down. To dilute the church, get rid of the word of God, get the faith away from us, to rob us, to steal from us, and to destroy us. Any way that he can do it, he will do anything he can to take us away from the very stronghold of what God has got in our hearts. And I've found as I look at this word attention in the Greek, it's prosiko, which means to adhere to. It means like glue, like we are stuck to Jesus. I want to be wrapped right up in Jesus, adhered to Jesus, that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Amen. Just adhered to Jesus. I like that. Pay attention. Abide by, stand strong in. And I found that there is only one place that you and I can stand strong in, and it's not listening to all the stuff that goes on in our world around us. But here's the great advice that I could give you. If you really want to pay attention today, I could give you something about this, because pay attention to Jesus. Pay attention to the Word of God. Pay attention to what the Holy Spirit directs us in. Pay attention to those things that will build your faith up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pay attention to those kinds of things. The disciples asked Jesus for the sign of his coming and of the end of the age. And Jesus' first response was, don't let anybody deceive you. Deceive you. The fact is that whenever we start looking for signs, and I'm a sign kind of a guy. I like signs, wonders, and miracles. But they follow the Word of God. I don't seek after them. They follow the blessings of God. Amen? Don't come in here and say, I see a sign. I look for Jesus. Then the signs will come. Amen? The fact is, whenever we look for signs, we could become very susceptible in even being duped and deceived. There are many false prophets. Do you believe that? Many false prophets in our world right now around with counterfeit signs of spiritual power and authority. And the only sure way to keep from being deceived is to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, focus on his words. Don't look for special signs and don't spend time looking at other people. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. It's simple. Pay attention. Pay attention. Hallelujah. Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. So, how could we ever get discouraged, or how could we ever be deceived, or how could we ever get gullible? Well, have you ever been discouraged? You know, when we get discouraged, that could be a time when we're very vulnerable. I mean, it's like, you know, I don't know. I just, where's Jesus? You know, you kind of, oh, I don't know what to do. Oh, it's kind of like, where did Jesus go? Oh. It's like we get so focused on our problems and everything. I mean, it's terrible. Just by being discouraged, you're vulnerable. When we're down, we're so open to all these kinds of things. Or when we stay away from the things of God, you miss your reading, you miss this, you miss that. I mean, you could be very vulnerable and open for the things of God. If you don't feel like reading, if you don't feel like going to church, I mean, those are times that we could really be open to all these things of deception. You know, I like what it says in even Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. Why? Well, he says this, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. That's why we should be exhorting ourselves and encouraging one another to get to the things of God, stay close to God. And exhorting one another is not just ensuring you put in your check mark about coming to church that week, but ensuring to each of us that we stay fired up, we stay ready, we stay equipped for that moment when this is all over. Amen? So here's my duty as a pastor, taken from the words of Peter, because I really believe, as I said, I take this very seriously. Peter said this in 2 Peter chapter 1, for this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right as long as I'm in this tent to stir you up by reminding you, so pay attention. Amen? How many know that when we forget the Word of God, or we ignore the Word of God, or we neglect the Word of God, we will get ourselves into trouble. If we do some of these things, like forgetting or ignoring or neglecting, these things may leave us wide open and weak in the things of God, and we leave ourselves open for the lies of the enemy and to be deceived. I can't stress this enough this morning, because I believe this is the very first thing. If you want to talk about end times, this is what Jesus brought out. Very first thing, before he ever answered any of their questions, before he ever started detailing the end times, the first thing Jesus says is, do not be deceived. I believe this is very, very important. That's why Jesus, I believe, spoke to me that day on the pathway with my dog, pay attention. Pay attention. Don't listen to all the stuff around there about the end times. Now pay attention to my words. Pay attention to what you see in Matthew chapter 24 and 25. You watch. Watch what the Word of God says. So that's why I can't stress this enough. Take heed that no one deceives you, misleads you, takes us down a garden path, dupes us, cons us. However we want to express this today, we cannot afford to be deceived in the day and age that you and I are living in. Amen? This is wise advice for any area of our life, but Jesus has directed it especially towards our spiritual matters, our life and our existence and our vitality. I don't believe that there is any area as important in our life as a spiritual area. That's an important area. And how do we do this? I don't like to repeat this, but by knowing the Scriptures, I do like to repeat it, knowing the Scriptures very well. Let me close with this today. Back in the 1980s, a book came out entitled 88 Reasons Why Jesus Could Come Back in 1988. Anybody ever saw that book? Heard about it? Yeah. It's quite the book. In fact, many TV programs, Christian TV programs, promoted the book and said, you know, we're not saying that everything is truth in it, but it's interest read. And so they even sold it on some of the TV networks and TV. I thought it was really interesting because, you know, I was in my younger years. In fact, I was at Bible college at the time, and some of the Bible college students were all saying, hey, you got to get this book, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Could Come Back in 1988. So if people were phoning in and sending to the network and trying to get this book, I never did read it because something inside of me was saying, this is not right. You ever hear that voice? So anyway, we came down all through 1988, December 31st, January 1st of 1989. Jesus did not come back in 1988. Within a few short weeks into 1989, another book came out from the same author. I've erred in a couple of things, so it's 89 Reasons Why Jesus Could Go Back in 1989. Did anybody buy that book? You know, the sad thing is that many well-respected ministries promoted that book and channeled it to its viewers as some good reading material. And that was what really scared me in that sense because, you know, we need to pay attention. Pay attention in light of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'd like to write a book this year. It's called 17 Reasons why Jesus could come back in 2017. Would you buy it? But I read it. I wrote it. You know, I'm your pastor. I'm a pretty good guy. Wouldn't you buy it? Just, well, let's buy the pastor's book. More recently, I just saw this. So this came out on February 22nd. Christian website claims the world will end in 2017. This was on the ChristianHeadlines.com. I don't know if anybody goes on there, but it's really good. It's a fundamentalist Christian website called Signs of the End Times claims that the world will end in 2017. According to Christian Today, the website points to various current events to make a case that the signs have aligned to signal the end of the world and the second coming of Christ. The signs the website points to include natural disasters such as earthquakes and hurricanes, and also cultural shifts such as the cultural attitude towards sexual immorality, as well as increased persecution of Christians. It's interesting how they bring everything in from Matthew chapter 24 and then say it's going to end this year. Interesting how we get a mixture of truth and lies. We have it all around us, and that's the way people get duped into things. They become gullible to things that are out there because it sounds good. You know, we were talking the other night about a group that is outside of the church and wondering if they were Christian or not because, you know, they open up in prayer at their meetings, but then they go into all the other stuff and start fighting with each other and everything else. I said, so is that group Christian? Just because we open up with the Lord's Prayer, does that mean that everything that we do is Christian? No. Just because we come to church doesn't make us a Christian. Just because we open the Word of God doesn't make us a Christian. Just because we start a meeting with the Lord's Prayer doesn't make us saved or anything else. But the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to understand it's not the things that we do. It's not the religiosity we do. It's not the temple that we trust in or the world or the technology or the things that you and I find our strength in this world that think we find our strength in. It's not of all these things. Do not be deceived. Do not be gullible. Don't be taken in with the things of the world. Don't even take it in. If somebody starts with the Lord's Prayer in some meeting, understand this, that in the last days many will come in my name and deceive many, many people. You know, I look at all these headlines and these things. The epitome of this all is the greatest con job of all is what Jesus says in verse 5, that many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. That will be the greatest con job in this world that you'll ever see is when somebody walks up and said, believe me because I'm the Christ. We've heard of the Jimmy Joneses and the David Koresh's and the things that happened and people just took it in hook, line, and sinker and followed after them. We'll see that many later on it says that even the most elect could be deceived. Does that wake us up? I went over to the last book because every time the old devil starts coming in and lying at me, I always say, come with me to the book of Revelation. You know, I like to, you know, like Jesus told the devil in the temptation, just kept using the word. I said, devil, if you want to keep whispering these lies into my ear, let me take you over to the book, the end of the book. And I went to Revelation chapter 20. And I love this in verse 1, Revelation chapter 20. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, grabbed him by the scruff of his neck, that serpent of old who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. I love those words. Did the devil hear that? Bound him for 1,000 years, and this is what it says after that. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him. Why? So that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were up. That 1,000 years, there'll be no deception from the enemy. Wow, that's going to be quite the millennial kingdom, where Jesus rules and reigns with the rod of iron, and every eye shall see him, and the saints of God ruling and reigning with him, and no deception. Wouldn't that be great? And then I went over just a few verses down, Revelation chapter 20, because you know what? After 1,000 years, the old devil's coming back out. You know, if I was God, I'd say, there, gone. But God's got plans. He's got things he's working out. I don't like to step into his plans. But in Revelation chapter 20, verse 7, it says, now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. You see, if there's any deception today, it's of the devil. If there's any lies today, it's of the devil. If there's any controversy around the word of God, it's of the devil. I mean, he's the accuser of the brethren. He's the liar. As we said on Friday night in our prayer meeting, I mean, we really got into a real good battling time on Friday night. You missed a good prayer meeting if you weren't with us. We had a great time just praying and waiting upon God. But I believe that the old enemy, he's the snarer, the trapper, he's the fowler. He's trying to do everything he can to trip us up. And I went to the last book of the Bible again, Revelations. Pay attention. Did you know that when Jesus listed these seven letters to the seven churches, really his intent was for them to pay attention? That was his intent. But I like this, at the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, it says, I counsel you to buy from me gold. Do you think that was gold? Or do you think it was something else? Spiritual matters. Buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich. And white garments that you may be clothed, that's salvation, that the shame of your nakedness, remember Adam and Eve, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. This was something the church at Laodicea needed in their day and age, and I really believe it's something that the church needs today, is to anoint our eyes with eye salve that the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, is going to anoint our eyes with, so that we'll be able to bear witness to the holy and the unholy, the truth and the lies, and the counterfeit and the very genuine. We need to see with our eyes and feel with our heart and respond through the Word of God, because God is showing us things in these last days, and He is coming very soon. So we need to anoint our eyes with that eye salve. Why? So we can see. Would you stand with me, please, and worship team, come. Wow, what a good time, a siren. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We are living in an emergency time. There's an emergency outside of our church, but God, there's an emergency inside the church. God, the church. Jesus, you wrote letters to seven churches, not to the unsaved. You wrote them to the church. To the church, you were pinpointing things. You were showing them things. You were outlining things. This is after you'd even gone to the cross, after you rose from the grave, after you were sitting at the right hand of the Father, and the Spirit of God moved upon John on the Isle of Patmos, and you said, write these things. And so here we see that there's some really good information that we need to pay heed to pay attention to. And God, as this morning you've led me to even pull this one thing out this morning from the church of Laodicea. God, I pray this morning, if there's somebody that has to have their eyes anointed, I pray that it would happen. Some people have perhaps been led astray. Some people have been going down a garden path. People have been able, maybe even conned. Maybe some people have been lied to, and there's all kinds of cults and religions and things outside this church. People think they've got the right way and everything else, and we hear it all the time, that why do you think that Jesus is the only way? Because he says he is. That's why I believe it. I'm not going to listen to a con job. I'm not going to listen to anything else. I'm narrow-minded. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's nothing else. There's no other way into the Father's heart but through Jesus. He's the only way. He's the door. He's the only way they ever get to Jesus, to get to the Father's heart, through Jesus. So if you're here this morning and you believed a lie, anoint your eyes with eye salve. That's what Jesus wants you to do. Buy gold. This comes from the fire of heaven. Get that gold. Hold on to it. It's the Word of God. put on the garment, the white garments, salvation, walk in the newness of life, walk in the blessings of God. That's what God's telling us this morning. Walk in that, those white robes. The stains are gone because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And if our eyes keep seeing things and hearing things out there, then we need to anoint our eyes with the eye salve of heaven. Say, God, cleanse my eyes, cleanse my heart, cleanse my mind, cleanse every part of me, and make me to only see the things of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I pray this morning, Father, if there's anybody that's been led down a garden path, release them back to the Word. If there's anybody that's been conned and lied to and mixes truth in with lies, God, let them be able to have the mind of Jesus to be able to separate these things. God, give them the wisdom of the Word of God to be able to differentiate and know what is truth and what is error. God, I pray this morning, Lord God, raise up people who are of the book. Raise up a church, oh God, raise up every one of us, a people of a book, the book of the Lord, the Bible, Genesis to Revelations. We're narrow-minded, but that's the book. That's where we hang our hat. That's where we live. That's where we read. That's where we get our substance and sustenance from. Father, help us in these days. I believe that we are in the last days. I believe that you could come back at any time. I'm not going to say you're coming back in 2017 like this person on this webpage, but I know that, Lord Jesus, that you could come back at any moment. You could be back in 5 minutes, 10 minutes. You could be back in 10 years. I don't know. I trust in you, and the only thing that you've called me to do and every one of us is to do is to walk with you. So all we need to do is stay focused on Jesus. Pay attention. Pay attention. Hallelujah. Pay attention. Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pay attention. Pay attention. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus. Just to stay focused on you, Lord. Hallelujah. We need you, Jesus. Draw me close to you, Lord. Draw me close. Closer and closer to you. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, cry out to you, Lord. Cry out to you, Lord. Keep me near the cross. Keep me near the cross. Near the cross, near the cross, near the cross. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus, shakatarabashatarabasi, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God, praise you God, praise you God, praise you God, praise you God, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm just feeling the moving of the Holy Spirit this morning. I just sense that He wants to deal with us these last few moments. He wants to deal with us. Hallelujah. I don't know if somebody here has been really lied to or conned. I don't know. But He's really dealing with us this morning. I really believe that He wants us to keep our eyes focused. Focused to pay attention. Pay attention. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, we love you, Lord, love you, Lord, love you, Lord, love you, Lord, love you, Lord. Hallelujah, worship you, Lord, worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name, O Lord. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory to your name, O Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, glory to your name, glory to your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Master is calling this morning. Pay heed to His voice. When you hear His voice, that's the voice you follow. Pay heed to it. Follow the voice. Learn the voice. Know the voice. Because when you hear the voice of the Master is leading you from your troubled waters, from those troubled times that you're living in, from the things that so easily ensnare you. The Lord is leading you to a place that is high and lofty and it's rocky shore for you to go through. But He's taking you to the solid ground, the solid ground. He's taking you to a place where you will abide forever with the Master. He wants you close to Him. He wants you close. Pay heed to His voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. God, you're so good. You're so good. Hallelujah. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord, and I live. My voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Oh, let it be a sweet, sweet. In your ear, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy. Joy, my King, in what you hear, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Yes, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, the presence of the Lord is so good. Where else would you ever want to be? David said, you know, if I climb to high heights, your presence is there. If I go into the deepest of depths, even your presence is there. In other words, where could we ever go away from the presence of God, that he loves us that much, that he would pursue us and come after us? All I know is that God's word says, draw nigh to God, and he sure will draw nigh to us. Thank God for that closeness and that relationship. Stay close to Jesus, amen? Pay attention to him. Pay attention to him. Don't get our eyes off into other things and stuff around us. Pay attention to Jesus. Amen. Father, thank you for this day. It's been so good. So good to be in your presence with God's people, worshiping you, crying out to you, longing for more of you, Lord. God, thank you for what you do in our lives. God, we don't take this lightly. When you build us up in the faith, Lord, when you strengthen us, when we come to church and encourage one another, Lord, thank you, Lord, for the resources that you have provided for us, Lord, the equipping of the saints, Lord, the strengthening of the lives of each one of us who believes. So, God, thank you today, Lord. We don't take these things lightly, Lord. We should never, ever take your word lightly. But, God, help us to pay attention. Pay attention to the road signs, the things that it says. And even though sometimes we read the word of God and say, God, I don't understand, seek the face of God. Ask the Holy Spirit, just like the disciples did to Jesus. And Jesus will give the answers. He gives answers. He is the answer. So thank you, God, for today. Thank you for the blessings of church. Thank you for the worship team. I just ask you to bring Miles and Linda safely home, Lord. We miss them. And God, thank you for each one here today, Lord. Blessings on every home, every family, every couple, every single person, every child, every youth. God, blessings on them, Lord. Let us, as a flock of believers here, Lord God, believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to help one another and to gird each other up in the holy faith. Thank you, Lord, for your coming is so soon. We're waiting for the return of Jesus. We're longing for that day. Bless us as we go today, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you.